Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the FBN Holdings Half Year 2014 Financial Results Conference Call. Following the formal presentation by FBN Holdings management team, an interactive Q&A session will be available. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Bello Machido, Chief Executive Officer of FBN Holdings. Please go ahead, sir.
Let me welcome you to this conference call scheduled by FBN Holdings to announce the results for the group for the half year ended June 30th, 2014. We begin by presenting you the environment, the macroeconomic environment under which we operated and under which other financial institutions operated during the course of the year. By way of background, let me say that real GDP continues to grow at an attractive rate of 6.7% and driven mostly by rising oil prices that have moved from about 1.107 to 117, as well as growth in oil production output, which has jumped from 1.8 to 2.15 over the same period. So we begin to see external reserves picking up from the low point of 13% dip that we witnessed over the course of the year. Now, still on the macro economic environment, the big story is the new Pension Reform Act that has just been signed into law by the President. And this act actually removed the impediment that was placed on local pension funds from investing in bank holding companies. So for us, we believe with that, we'll begin to see the local domestic investors are getting back into our stock. Now, on the banking side, let me say that the new governor of Central Bank has retained the MPR at 12%, CRR at 75%, continuing a tight monetary regime. So we expect our cost of funds to continue to remain high, but with reforms taking place in the power and oil and gas sector, we expect to see continued growth in our loan book as a group. Now, let me just, at this point, just highlight that despite the very difficult operating terrain we have been contending with since the introduction of the tariff regime in April 2013, still we are the highest in terms of total assets with 18.4% growth, standing at 4 trillion, and also gross loans at about 1.9 trillion. Representing about 19% growth over the period. Deposit base also grew by 8%, standing at about 2.8 trillion. So truly, when you look at this, clearly you see that we are the biggest retail franchise in this environment, and also supported by very large customer base of 9.1, which is an appreciable growth from the 8.8 customer base we had this time last year. Still on the branching side, we maintain 867 branches and making us the biggest retail franchise. Maintaining good asset quality at 3.0% and also driving the contribution of non-banking subsidiary companies to the group. This has the non-banking contribution to PBT has grown from 8.9 to 10% of to total group. So all in all, we have been seeing a positive trend in gross earnings moving up 7.9% while maintaining, like I highlighted, healthy asset quality. Our operating income in comparison to what obtained last half year last year was also on a positive trend. And even though we have seen some kind of inching up on the cost to income ratio, this is attributable to higher regulatory costs that we'll explain during the course of the presentation. We maintain a very healthy return on average equity of 15.7% and at the same time also maintaining a healthy capital adequacy ratio of 17.6%. Now, the big news for us is that we have just successfully concluded Tier 2 offering, during which we were able to raise $450 million in the market at a coupon rate of 8%. This is by far the most successful offering by any Nigerian bank in this environment. At this point, I would like to hand over to the head of finance of SBN Holdings to take you through the details of our financials.
Good afternoon. My name is Wale Ari, head of finance, SBN Holdings PLC. I'll be talking about the group financial results, while the top executive of the subsidiary company will give further details at the end of my presentation. The top line gross earnings increased by 7.9% to 211 billion from 196 billion in the corresponding period of 2013. This is essentially due to increase in interest earned on loans and advances to customers and bank business, which increased respectively by 14% and 22%. Operating income grew about 1.5% from 155 billion to 157, essentially due to increase in other fees and commission. During the period, interest income that we recorded was 154.6 billion against 150.7 billion of corresponding period, an increase of about 13.9 billion or 9.4%. However, in terms of our OPEX, despite this increase in gross earnings, we were faced with regulatory challenges which really affected our performance. But despite regulatory earnings, net interest revenue remained flat. We were able to hold on to hold in terms of net interest revenue at 43.3 billion thereabouts, and this is because of various initiatives that we put in place to ensure that we replace lost income due to regulatory headwinds. Essentially, it's important to note that our electronic business, e-banking business, has really taken off and is improving. Let me just quickly say a few things about this business. In terms of number of cards in issue, this increased between 2013 and 2014 by 23%. And in terms of our mobile money initiative, subscriber base increased by 150% between December and December 2013 and June 2014. And the number of transaction cards also increased by 97%. Fees and commission increased by 12.1% over the corresponding period of last year, 35 billion naira. And as a result of the fact that we now have some other contribution from non-banking subsidiaries. When we started the holding company structure in 2012, contribution of the banking subsidiary, the largest subsidiary of the group, was about 92%, or about 96%. And ITA, investment banking and asset management, was 4% in 2012. In 2013, contribution of ITA increased to 7%. And as at half year 2014, ITA has contributed to PBT 9.3%. Whereas the bank has not gone down in terms of gross earnings, but other subsidiaries have increased their gains. So this is a testimony to the benefits inherent in the holding company structure that the group has adopted. Therefore, we observe that as we progress, we expect further traction and increasing in contribution from other non-banking subsidiary businesses. OPEX was a major issue because, as I said, regulatory challenges. Our operating expense increased by 14.3% over the corresponding period due essentially to increase in AMCON charges. AMCON charges between corresponding period was 23.3% increase, whereas NDIC, which is regulatory induced, also increased by 23%. In addition to that, there was a celebration of 120 years of the existence of First Bank of Nigeria Group, which also increased our operating expense. At the end of the day, at the end of half year 2014, the PBT recorded was 48.3 billion, a reduction of 12%, essentially due to the issues raised concerning regulatory induced operating expense increase. I'll quickly go to the balance sheet of the financial position. Total assets increased by 3.4% between 2013 January and December and 2014 June. And the increase, this has sparked some reduction in some lines. Especially, deposits have gone down slightly due to public sector related. I'm on slide number 10. Setting the financial position. Government securities, i.e., treasury bills and bonds, reduced by 21.3% year on year and 20.5% when you look at June 2014 compared to December 2013. Essentially, there was a net reduction, a net movement of 141 billion in treasury bills representing 44% between December 2013 and June. And this was as a result of the need to liquidate this investment to meet CRR requirements in the commercial banking group. Interbank placement increased, and that's why we recorded a 22% increase in placement income from banks. Again, net loans and advances also increased slightly, and that is why we also increased 14% increase in our interest income charge to customers on loans and advances. And at the end of the day, our capital adequacy ratio, both Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 capital adequacy ratio, we are within the regulatory requirements, and our plan is to monitor and ensure that at every point in time, we are compliant. In terms of efficiency of the balance sheet and the structure of the balance sheet, a bigger thing that has happened concerning the assets is that, as I said, DB went down, hence, in terms of investment reduced from 22% to 18.4% between December 2013 and June 2014. For the liabilities on the other side, deposits decreased, as I said earlier on, from 75.7% of total balance sheet to 68.9%. Again, this is due to reduction in public sector related deposits, which have implications for CRR, which we deliberately are trying to wind down and replace. But all in all, the company, the bank, and the group remain net placer of funds in the interbank market. Let's go to slide number 11. On slide number 11, this is showing deposits by size and deposits by SBU in the banking group. The key thing I'd like to talk about on this is that for deposits by size, today we have 72% CASA, current account and current and savings account at 72%. Our preferred target is to have about 75 to 25, and we are working 75% of total deposits. But it is important to note that we are still the best, we are still the utilized with low cost funds due to the kind of enterprise and the platform that we have to generate deposits across the entire group. The next slide number 12 to 13 and 14, the essentially graphical representation of the presentation of the discussion we have had so far. But I would just like to talk about the things we are doing to contain operating expenditures, and that is on slide number 16. What we are doing, we are closing non-profitable branches, especially rural branches that are not adding to the bottom line, and we are replacing them with alternative electronic channels that drive income as well as fees and inclusion. We are also working on automation of our processes, improving on the automation of our processes, and increasing the number of efficiency by staff, with respect to ensuring that senior people are more market resistant and generating income than being in the back office. At this point, I will stop here and allow Mr. Belgu Ndibola, the Chief Risk Officer, to take over from this point. Mr. Belgu Ndibola, the Chief Risk Officer of the Commercial Banking Group. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I would like to talk about the loan book, starting from slide 17 up slide 20. From slide 17, we recorded 3.5% loan growth for half year, driven essentially by growth in BID, that's our Congo subsidiary, as well as FDN Nigeria. With this kind of performance, we are on track to achieving the 10% loan growth that we have guided on earlier in the year. Now, this modest loan growth is actually as a result of the fact that instead of focusing on loan growth, we are focusing on optimizing our balance sheet through optimal pricing of the assets, as well as rebalancing the risk assets from the higher corporate and the mid corporate where margins are seen to the retail segment and the commercial segment where there are better opportunities for pricing and incremental revenue. I will quickly go to slide I'll quickly go to slide 20 to talk about the asset quality. All the indicators of asset quality are very positive for the RPF. Talking specifically about NPL ratio, this was recorded at 3%, better than 3.8% year on year, and also better than 3.6% as at end of quarter one. Another metric that we look at is the cost of risk of 0.7%, which is also better than RPR 2013, which was 1.3%. I also want to talk about the coverage ratio, which remains acceptable, although declining. This essentially reflects the quality of the collateral supporting impaired assets. I can assure you that all impaired assets are adequately provisioned in line with IFRS guidelines. If you also look at the impairment charge of 6.7 billion, this was 36% less than what we recorded as at year 2013. Now, the asset quality improvement that we have noticed reflects the impact of strong recovery, write-off, and strong remedial process. Towards the end of the year, all the initiatives to maintain asset quality will remain in place, and we expect asset quality to remain as strong as the beginning. I will now hand you over to the Chief Financial Officer of the Bank, Olade Ejiofor.
Thank you, Jordan. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I will just provide some context in terms of what we are doing, where we are in the commercial banking group, and what we are doing strategically to position the business for growth going forward. It's been a very challenging operating environment, but despite that, our gross earnings and all our performance indicators are trending north. The gross earnings growth, we recorded a gross earnings growth of 6.9% year on year, from which basically meant we grew from 199 billion over the review period, and 8.9% quarter-on-quarter growth on the back of increased interest income. Our profit before taxation dropped marginally to 47 billion from 50 billion, attributable essentially to increased operating expenses. The operating expenses itself increased by 9.6% year on year, essentially on the back of increased regulatory costs, which the head of finance of the HoldCo had highlighted significantly. In terms of what are we doing to take the business forward, strategically, we have refined our business, our operating model, especially of the Nigerian business, to ensure that executive firepower is also concentrated in the areas where we are seeing growth going forward, which is so this realignment, we believe, will give us a deeper penetration in the retail space where we see growth opportunities. In addition, we continue to pursue the setup and implementation of our transaction banking platform. This for us is quite significant because one area of growth that we see is an area of non-interest income. Building our transaction banking platform, which will enhance our trade transaction processing and our collection payment system, we think will significantly impact our business in terms of non-interest income. The other key thing that we are doing, which is also significant, is that we are also transforming our branch outlets. Not just we're moving beyond using our branch outlets for deposit mobilization, we are also doing very measured and controlled growth of risk assets from the branches in terms of our retail platform. In terms of efficiency, one area where we are working and we're making significant progress is in consolidating our transaction processing capability. So we've set up a central processing center, and we continue to consolidate on that. We believe, last but not the least, is our West African regional expansion strategy, which has gone well. We are now at the point where we are stabilizing in terms of We've taken over those businesses, and we are now working towards extracting value from those acquisitions. In our view, we think diligent implementation of these new strategic initiatives will further position the business for further growth, and we are quite confident of the strategic health of our business. I will hand over to Karida Akinkugbe, the CEO of our investment banking group, to discuss further on their business. Thank you.
Thank you, Shola. I'm now on slide 24. And I think, just in terms of highlights, the positive trend in terms of growth, be it in revenue and PBT, continues. And I think a lot of this is driven, it's fair to say, by much more effective collaboration between IBAM and the banking group in particular. If we look at the contribution, for example, from investment banking and asset management and trustees, which are the businesses that together have contributed 74% to our revenue for the first half of the year. A lot of the drivers around the investment banking business have come from better collaboration between, for example, investment banking and the corporate banking and also institutional banking and also the public sector groups of the bank. And then when you look at the asset management business and how that is, you know, one of our initiatives this year was to reposition that business, again, with much greater collaboration with the retail banking group within the bank. We're beginning to see the benefits of this collaboration. So the positive trend, you know, I think is one that we expect to continue for some time to come. It's also very encouraging to see, I think, the trustee business in terms of the quality of the income that's now coming from the trustee business, because we're now seeing that the fee portion of the income is much greater. In the Q1, for example, we had only 15% of our fee income versus about 85% of sort of net interest income. But now we've changed that, and the portion of fee income has also grown substantially, which shows that we're taking advantage of opportunities, particularly around the corporate trust and the public trust space. I think going into the rest of the year, we have a fairly strong pipeline, I would say, certainly in the IB business, around capital markets transactions and also the syndicated loan business. So our focus is clearly to continue to make sure we close and execute those deals successfully. We will obviously remain very watchful, keep a close eye on our OPEX as well, such that on balance we are able to ensure we meet or potentially exceed our targets. Our expectation is that the macro environment will be fairly benign, so we're looking forward to being able to complete the transaction by Q4 to ensure we maintain our PBT target. I will now hand back to Malambelo Machido, the group CEO, to round up the presentation.
Okay. To round up our presentation, let me just present to you the summary of our outlook as a group. Basically, we expect to grow as a business through a number of major strategic initiatives. Number one, enhancing our revenue stream through our transaction banking, like has been highlighted, as well as also repositioning the public sector business beyond focusing only on public sector accounts to public sector-related accounts. That is on the commercial banking side. Also, we are driving deeper the cross-sell opportunities across the group with particular emphasis on investment banking and driving their project finance business through the possibilities that abound in the power and oil and gas sector. Likewise, on the insurance side, we have taken a strategic decision to get into the general insurance business because it provides a broader platform to a larger 85% size of that market. Presently, we are only in 15% of the market, which is the life business. So this acquisition, jointly being done with our South African strategic partner, Salam of South Africa, is one of the major initiatives that will drive our future growth. Now, of course, one of the other key areas is to drive cost efficiency. It has been highlighted in the various presentations that operating expenses has been one of the areas that had inched up over the course of the year. So we have a very detailed integrated cost containment program that includes, like the Chief Financial Officer had highlighted, the significant reduction in the rollout of branches, you know, across the group. Already we have reached critical mass in terms of building of branches, so we are slowing down in terms of the new ones. Likewise, we are also closing rural and unprofitable branches, all in a way to ensure that cost containment is given a major impact. In terms of where we see ourselves going forward based on where we are relative to our guidance, one would say, if you look at our 2014 targets on page 29, we have provided guidance on deposit growth, loan growth, net interest margin, cost-income ratio, cost of risk, and we believe that given the strategic initiatives that we are implementing together as a group, both on the commercial banking, investment banking, insurance, that we are on our way to being able to deliver return on average equity of between 18 to 20% as a group. In closing, let me just reiterate that one of the major issues that have happened, which I had highlighted, was the revision of the Pension Reform Act. If you have been following closely the price of our stock over the last 1 year, you would find that we have been trading at one-time book value, whereas our competitors have been trading in the neighborhood of between 1.5 times to 2.5 times book. One of the reasons for this is because the old Pension Reform Act, which has now been replaced, precluded companies that have less than 5 year trading record from being invested in by pension fund administrators. We are happy that the president has signed a new law that has removed that restriction, and we believe that as soon as the local domestic institutional investors come back into this marketplace, our share price will closely reflect our intrinsic value. So we're inviting you to take note of this development as it will affect our share price going forward. On this note, and on behalf of all of us from FBN Holdings and the Group Managing Director of First Bank, Mr. D.C. Onosanya, who is here, we thank you for this opportunity to present our half-year results for 2014. So we now invite you for questions, comments, any general observations on our presentation, as well as on the general subject.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. A voice prompt on your phone line will indicate when your line is open to ask a question. Please state your name before posing your question. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Sojit Salanke of Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the call. I just have a few questions. The first one is on SMEs. So what I want to understand is what's special about your SME product offering versus the rest of the market, and what's the percentage of this segment in total loans now, and where do you see it going over the next 2 years? My second question would be, so for example, on the Basel II, what would your capital adequacy ratio be? And my final question is, looking at your liquidity ratio of 37% as at half year, how are you thinking about this figure versus where you've been historically, and how does this affect plans for growth going forward? Thank you.
Okay. I will answer the question about the SME portfolio. Currently, the SME portfolio is about 8% of our entire portfolio. And we are
you sound very faint.
Yes, but I was saying that the SME portfolio that you asked about is about 8% of our portfolio, and the way we intend to grow this sector of the portfolio, given the
growth opportunities available is to essentially work through product programs we want to do and the kind of customers that we want to do those products with, and also giving the nature of SME, monitor aggressively, follow the cash, and make sure that we identify early enough which products are working, which ones are not working, and if we see products that are not working very well, we either repair them or take them off the market. Essentially, with this kind of model in mind, we hope to make sure that the asset quality of the SME portfolio remains acceptable. Thank you.
Regarding your question on capital adequacy under the Basel II rules, as you are probably aware, we all banks are currently still running parallel run between B1 and B2. Where we are now is that our capital adequacy under Basel II is about 16 to 17%. A number of the principles there are still being discussed with the central bank, so we will probably get a more certain picture when the final guidance, when the final implementation date of October 1 comes. But where we are now, we are fully compliant. In terms of our liquidity, in terms of our liquidity ratio, where we are now, we see that we continue to maintain it around the range of 33 to 35%. We don't see it dropping below where it is now, essentially. So we'll continue to keep it at that level.
But do you think that potentially constrains the ability to grow? And my other question on SMEs was, over the next 2 years, so from 8% currently, where do you see that contribution rising to or potentially falling over the next 2 years? Thank you.
Over the next 2 years, we are also mindful of the fact that SME is a very risky area of business to grow in. So this growth is going to be deliberate. Like I mentioned, we are going to look carefully at what we do with this portfolio. I'm looking at the portfolio growing to between 11 and 12% over the next 2 years. But our focus will be not just to have an SME portfolio that is growing strongly, but also one with very high quality. Thank you.
Just an addition concerning the liquidity ratio question that you asked, you will observe that we are at 36.6, about 7%, and that is compliant because the regulatory requirement is 30 and 35% for significantly important banks. What has happened over the period is that where the CRR requirement was not as high as it is today, we could invest things in TB and government bonds that would cancel liquidity. But today, whereas CBM sterilized the equivalent 25% of public sector deposits that will not cancel liquidity, but the denominator has not changed. That's why we have seen what we consider as going down liquidity ratio. But as still, we are really compliant, and as the chief financial officer of the bank has said, we remain compliant at about this level.
Let me also add that despite the fact that we have 36-37% liquidity ratio, we have 440 billion naira sterilized in central bank under the cash reserve requirement, which is not regarded as part of the liquid assets. So in addition to the 440 billion naira, we still hold about 37% liquidity ratio. So liquidity is not a challenge under the present circumstances.
Understood. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ronak Gadia of Exotix. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Just as a follow-up to Soja's question, you said your capital adequacy ratio is around 16-17% under Basel II. Does that include the new capital that that you've raised? And then I think you've made some remarks about, you know, trying to grow your non-interest revenue portfolio. Can you give some guidance as to, you know, what the expectation there is? You know, what percentage of total revenue should we expect maybe in 18 months or 18-24 months? Or, you know, what kind of absolute growth rate should we expect from that line item? Thank you.
Regarding the capital adequacy ratio, yes, the 17% under Basel II has factored in the Tier 2 capital that we have just raised.
And sorry, just as a follow-up, what would your regulatory minimum be under the new systemically important banks regulations?
It's still 15%. 16%.
Okay.
Non-interest revenue.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it's star 1 to ask a question today. We will now take our next question from Abbas Barakorder of Schroders. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking the question. I had two quick questions. The first is on the drop in deposits year to date, which in the presentation you mentioned is to do with the public sector deposits and the impact of CRR, so you're shifting away from public to private sector. But looking in the detail on the accounts, most of the drop, actually 140 billion naira year to date, is coming from the domiciliary deposits, which from what I understand aren't affected by the CRR. So just a bit of clarity as to why those have dropped so much in the last 6 months. And then the second question is just, again, in note 26 on the accounts in operating expenses, there is a line which is other operating expenses, which last year, in the first half of 2013, was 9 billion naira, and this half has been 16 billion, so that's 80% increase. So I just wanted to understand what's in that and what's driven that very large increase in other operating expenses. Thank you.
The reduction in domiciliary deposits emanates purely from a particular major player in the system that's been doing transactions and taking money out of the system generally. And this is not limited to First Bank of Nigeria, but this is the practice or standard you see across other banking institutions in Nigeria. It's a major oil and gas player that's been doing transactions and taking domiciliary deposits into transactions. And that's the reason why you have a decline in domiciliary deposits. Shola, the CFO, will take the question on other expenses.
The other expenses is essentially have to do with our cost of running most of our branches. So it's essentially overhead, stuff like, I mean, as you probably know, in this time, you're almost like a government on your own, providing power, water, etc., etc. So it's general overhead. It's become an area of focus for us to ensure that we drive it downward going forward.
Okay, I mean, I understand it's overhead. It's just the year-on-year increase is very large. So just what's driven that increase? I mean, has the cost of security, all these things, is that what it is? I mean, why has it gone up so much in 1 year?
Don't forget also that there is consolidation of one or two other subsidiaries that were acquired during the period. So the consolidation of some of the expenses also came onto the table. Prior to that also, you notice that we opened about 100 new branches in the last financial year, about 18 months. And so naturally, you would expect the cost of operating some of these branches to kick in into our operating costs. But by and large, we expect that the revenues from these branches will begin to kick in to also eventually reduce the overhead. I believe that if you factor out specific costs from our general overhead, the growth in that respect is much, much less than the growth in inflation and higher than the growth in earnings. So I believe that these are some of the things that you will begin to see when you have business expansion that takes a few years for those additional branches to have positive additions to net revenue. So they are cup growth, essentially, that we are beginning to see.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Addington Jerhuni of Samlam. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello, good afternoon. My first question pertains to your effective tax rate. Could you please give us guidance of what the actual tax rate could be probably for the second half of the year?
Okay, now the increase in effective tax rate over the period is essentially due to the fact that we're taking a look at our deferred tax assets, and under IFRS, we try to do a test of recoverability. And, you know, if you think the way we're structured, we may not be able to take advantage of these deferred tax assets in future. We are beginning to, you know, take it down. And that's what has caused the increase to 22.9% from what it was originally. But we are guiding between 20 and 25% by the end of 2014. And, you know, this is a true reflection of the fact that deferred tax assets truly, it can swing. You know, and that is what has happened. And Beverly is going to be working on this, and the way our business is structured is such that at the end of the day, you know, don't forget the real tax rate in Nigeria is 30 plus 2, which is 32%. So if anybody is showing the tax rate below 30, that is some first tax rate that is going to push on into the future. And essentially, at a point in time, you have to take this tax into your P&L ultimately. So that is what has happened. And we believe that by the end of the year, we will close at 20-25%.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question today comes from Olukan Alabod of Vidipa Capital. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I wanted to talk about a relatively small part of your business, which is insurance. My question basically is, how do you see that space, and what kind of what competitive advantage do you think Oasis acquisition gives to the group, and how do you plan to grow that business?
Well, in terms of what we see as our competitive advantage in the acquisition of Oasis, I think looking at the cross-sell structure that exists across the group, just bear in mind that we took a lot of loan assets that involve, you know, opening of letters of credit, importation of goods. But if you don't have a general insurance business, that side of the business will go out the window, will go to somebody else. But if you have a general insurance business, you not only book the loan assets, but you also capture the general insurance side of the business. So in other words, it's an avenue through which we internalize all the benefits that exist across the group. So we believe that acquisition of Oasis is a thing of value for us as a group. And in terms of where do we see the insurance business, truly, number one, we have been in the life business, which represents only 15% of the market. And we told ourselves that truly, playing just in 15% of the market will not give us the kind of leadership that we want to have in that segment. And that is what informed the acquisition of a general business, because through that, we can get into the deeper, larger 85% of the market. The third point is the fact that also, even on the life side, the huge retail platform that we have in First Bank actually provide opportunity to drive the sale of bank assurance products. With the diminishing of COT income, a lot of our retail relationship managers have seen the wisdom to drive the sale of bank assurance products, thereby enhancing our revenue base, at least through diversification. So we believe that looking at those three areas, definitely insurance is a sustainable value for the group, and it is one that will enhance its contribution going forward.
I'm sure you've run your numbers. Could you commit to some form of growth number today for the next year or two?
The next year or two. It's difficult to give you exact numbers, but truly, we have just come out of our three-year strategic plan program, which kicked off on January 1st, 2014, and runs through 2016. What I can say is that one of the highest growth segments that we have in our business lines is the insurance business. So over the next year, some kind of, I won't say massive growth, but appreciable growth on the insurance side. That I can confirm.
Thank you.
Our next question today comes from Gloria Obaigo of CFL Stockbrokers. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah. Hello, good afternoon. Yeah, I have two questions for you. One, it's on something you mentioned during the presentation and rebalancing your balance sheet as moving loans from one segment to another. Could you give more color on that and expected impact of that? And then again on capital, if are you comfortable with 16% to 17% post Basel II, or do you have any further plans to raise capital?
I'll have more questions, please.
Please go ahead, Gloria Obaigo. Your line is now open.
Oh, good afternoon. Yeah. My question. I had two questions. The first one was on what you mentioned about rebalancing your balance sheet, that is moving loans from one segment to another. I would like you to add more color on that and then tell us about the possible impact of that action. And then on CR, if you're seeing CR post Basel II will be about 16 to 17%, are you saying you're comfortable at that level, or there are further plans to increase capital?
Let me say that we do not have in the short term the plans to raise Tier 1 capital. We believe that there are better ways of managing capital other than fresh issues. And the market is also not conducive. There's no liquidity in the market, so we would not be raising fresh Tier 1 capital. We are comfortable with where we are today, and we'll continue to use balance sheet management to improve on our capital. We did say that we will restructure our loans. While managing loan growth, we believe that as a retail bank, we have invested so much in setting up a retail banking structure, and the market is punishing us for that because we tend to have higher costs because of the cost of running those branches. However, there are opportunities to make money from retail banking through loan creation and asset growth. So what we are trying to do is to rebalance and redirect loans from the top segment of the market, which typically now is saturated and pricing is extremely very low. So retail segments of the market is higher pricing. Sometimes it may come with some higher losses in terms of loan loss provision, but we believe that the pricing makes room for you to be able to make higher yields from that segment of the market. What we are doing, however, is to make that diversion very cautiously, building a platform and structure, which includes setting up a very strong middle office to make sure that we take the positive side of it in terms of increases in yields on loans, whilst also managing the losses in terms of loan loss that we expect from it through retail loan growth using product programs that are clearly specified in terms of loss norms and tolerance limits. We intend to do this cautiously but progressively, and we believe that from the fourth quarter of 2014, we'll begin to see revenue accretion that would relate to the structure of the retail bank that we run. We believe that going into 2015, we will begin to see the impact of this increase in earnings from diversification into retail lending gradually by way of reduction in our cost-income ratio and possible accretion also into the bottom line. We are cautious about it. We are aware that it's an area that we have to do very carefully, and that's why we are doing it with the style in which we are doing it. So capital is diversification into retail and middle market segment without losing focus on the top segments of the market. So you earn more even from the same loan book as an institution. And we already have the cost profile and the structure of a retail bank anyway. So that's taken for granted. And I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, but do you see cost of risk going up in 2015 as a result of that?
We are guiding on cost of risk of about 1.3. You will see that where we are today, we are still very much below that. So we factored that in the worst case scenario, that even with the increase in cost of risk that may, and I use word may cautiously because it's not necessarily that it will, it may necessarily come from it, we will still stay within the guidance rate of 1 to 1.3% cost of risk.
Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Sharif Mohammed of Citibank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Okay, thank you for taking my questions. I have two questions. The first is on your change of mix in deposits that you mentioned during the call. You said you're trying to get the mix of current and savings up to 75%. I believe from 55%, I'm not sure if that number is right, but please correct me if I'm wrong. And within what time frame are you looking at to get that mix up to 75%? Then my second question is on the acquisition that you alluded to that you did during the year, which increased expenses. Do you think you fully digested this acquisition? And what kind of feedback are you looking at? Thank you. Hello?
Now, moving.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, okay. Thank you. Your first question is how long it takes to move current and savings accounts from 72% to 75%. It's ongoing, it's challenging, it's not tough, it's not something you wish happened, and it happens just by wishing, but we are doing everything possible to make sure that we do all of that. We believe that in the next 6 months, we should be able to achieve that balance. Let me sound a note of caution, however, that even at 72%, we're still very, very good. It's in line with our strategic objective to make it between not more than 70% being in, not more than 30% of our total funds not being more than 30% of total deposit. So we are still in line, but it is better for us to wind it down. But even if we still see opportunities to take a spread or a margin in fixed deposits, which is what we do, we will still not shy away from taking fixed deposits so long as we can match it and take a positive spread on it. So it's still a very good ratio, even at 72%. And I dare say that there is no other bank in Nigeria today that has that composition of low-cost deposits at 70% that we have. So it's not a bad thing to be in the position in which we are, but we'll gradually try to work down and improve on that ratio. Thank you. Now, in terms of sweating the acquisition, now it takes time to sweat acquisitions, but what we can assure you is that in the short run, we do not intend to take on any new acquisition. We started and tested the waters with the acquisition in DRC in Congo. We can tell you that the ROE on that enterprise has gone up significantly. Started with profit before tax on a monthly basis of $600,000. Now we've done it in excess of $1 million. Our focus is on the latest acquisitions, and we can assure you that we are making significant progress, and we believe that going forward from the next year and subsequent years, you will begin to see improvements in their ROE and overall contributions to the bottom line. Let me say, however, that all these subsidiaries put together in West Africa account for less than 5% of the total balance sheet of the bank. So it is not significant. I need to let you understand that. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your keypad. As there are no further questions in the queue, that will conclude today's question and answer session. I would now like to turn the call back to our speaker for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, in closing, we thank you for the opportunity to highlight some of the key initiatives that we have handled over the course of the last 1 year, and we thank all the attendants for being on the conference call and for the questions that have also been advanced. We thank you.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.